All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the HTI2 Proposed Rule Task Force for 2024. This is our kickoff meeting. I am Seth Pazinski with ONC, and I will serve as your designated federal officer for today. This meeting is open to the public, and public feedback is welcome throughout the meeting. Comments can be made in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting, and there is also time scheduled at towards the end of our agenda for verbal public comments. So we are going to go ahead and get started with our meeting, and I will start with a roll call of the task force members. So when I call your name, if you can please indicate that you're present. I'll start with the co-chairs, Bryant Thomas-Karras.
Present.
Rochelle Prosser.
Present.
Mark Sendak.
Present.
Shyla Blend. Hans Butendijk. Derek DeYoung. Stephen Eichner.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Lee Fleischer.
Since we couldn't do any operations, I am here because of the IT problem.
All right, well, welcome. Hannah Galvin.
Here, thank you.
Raj Gudvarti.
Present.
Thank you. Jillian Haney.
Present.
Joel Hartzell. I did get a message that Stephen Hester would not be able to make it today. Aaron Holt-Coin.
Present.
Jim Jurgis.
Present.
Mary Beth Carrillo.
Present, thanks.
Thank you. Hung Liu.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Dominic Mack. Meg Marshall. Anna McAllister.
I'm here. Good morning.
Thank you. Morning. Katrina Miller Parrish did get a message that she would not be able to make today's call. Alex Muggy. Shantanu Nundi.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Hi. Eliel Oliveira. Kiki Loma Ashukintan.
Present.
Thank you. Rhonda Perkins.
Present.
Did get a message that Dan Riskin would not be able to make it today. Phil Sutherland. Got a message that Zeynep Sumar King would be joining late. Naresh Sundar Rajwan.
Present.
Thank you. Cheryl Turney.
Present.
And Thomas Wilkinson.
Good afternoon. I'm here.
Thank you. Is there anyone I missed or anyone who just joined us?
I just joined this, Hans.
Oh, thank you, Hans. So please join me in welcoming our co-chairs for opening remarks, and I will turn it over to Bryant to get us started.
Great. Thank you, everybody. I'm Bryant Thomas-Karras. Many of you know I'm a physician and public health professional who's dedicated my career and my life to public health IT and our expansion of informatics skills across the country. So I'm honored to co-chair this task force. I have to thank the people who came before us and for many of the public health activities highlighted in the notice of proposed rulemaking. Thank the co-chairs of past public health data systems task forces from 2022 and 2021, Janet Hamilton and Carolyn Peterson, and then Jillian Haney and Arian Malik. We wouldn't be where we are today if not for the hard work of past committees. So I'm honored to take on that charge, and we'll do so with the spirit and energy that public health always brings to things. So looking forward to this.
All right, thank you, Bryant. Rochelle?
Good morning and afternoon, everyone across the country. Thank you. My name is Rochelle Prosser. I am in the public sector and the owner of Orchid Healthcare Solutions. However, I am a 30-year neurotrauma ICU nurse, as well as an informatics nursing analyst. And the opportunity to stand here and reflect the public in terms of information blocking and patient access to information is very important to me. And I too, like Bryant, share many accolades to those that have come before me here on the panel and appreciate what they are doing, what they have done, where we've come from, and where we plan to go. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Rochelle. And Mark.
Welcome, everybody. I want to thank the other co-chairs. I think it'll be a busy 2 months for us all, and thank everyone who's volunteered to help serve on the task force. For me, it was HTI1 that inspired me to try to join HITECH. So I'm excited to build on the work from last year. I think today's events with the outage clearly emphasizes the role of health IT in maintaining kind of critical infrastructure in the US and pushing forward the way that we deliver healthcare. So I'm excited to work with everybody here and excited what we can accomplish over the next 2 months. So I'm going to do a few slides and then I'm going to hand it back to Seth. So next slide, please. So agenda for today, we're wrapping up the open remarks right now. I'm going to hand it back to Seth, who's then going to take us through the task force charge and the work plan. We're going to look at the sections of HTI2. So it is a 1,000-page document, so we should all feel motivated that we don't have to dissect the whole thing. We're going to be divvying up into subgroups, and then subgroups are going to work on designated sections of the proposed rule. We're going to have a public comment session and then break after 90 minutes at 3:30. Next slide. We do have a big group working on this. So there's three subgroups in total. We have about 30 people. And over the next few slides, we're going to show how folks are kind of allocated to the different subgroups. On this slide, just want to emphasize the diversity of types of people and types of perspectives that we have today. So even amongst the co-chairs, we have public health, nursing, myself in a delivery system setting here at Duke. We have folks from state health agencies. We have folks from industry, folks who work on the employer side with health plans, many kind of advocacy groups, as well as individual patient representatives who are going to help make sure that everything that we get out of this also benefits patient care. So really excited to work with you all. I think I'll be working with one of the subgroups, but we'll also be convening as a full team. So welcome and thank you. I'll hand it back to Seth.
All right, thank you, Bryant and Rochelle and Mark. Appreciate the framing of remarks for the group. We can go to the next slide. So I'll say again, Seth Pazinski, I'm the designated federal officer for the Health IT Advisory Committee. I wanted to start by going over the charge for this task force. And we can go to the next slide. I don't know if it's hung up on just my end or not. Can we go to the next slide? There we go. And so the charge for the HA2 proposed rule task force is basically to review the rule and the specific sections of the proposed rule related to public health standards and certification, and then information blocking and TEFCA. And you'll see that we've organized three subgroups around those areas. The other thing I'll mention on this is that we do have kind of a hard deadline for the work of this task force because we need to have the final recommendations within the 60-day public comment period for the proposed rule. And speaking on behalf of ONC, I just want to start off by recognizing stating that we know that, you know, serving on this task force is a time commitment for all of you. And I wanted to just give our thanks and appreciation for you volunteering both your time and your expertise to help inform ONC's rulemaking efforts. And we really do greatly appreciate your time, your expertise, and your input into this rulemaking process. We can go to the next slide. So similar, I think it's getting a little hung up on my apologies. Can we go to the action item slide, please? So similar to the approach we took for the HTI-1 proposed rule, we're splitting this task force into three subgroups to help us efficiently work through the 1,000-page rule, as Mark highlighted. So we'll have a public health subgroup, a standards and certification subgroup, and an information blocking and TEFCA subgroup. And so the slides shared for today had the members that we have heard back from as far as which subgroups that you want to be on. You can serve on one or multiple. It's up to you and your availability and interest. We do ask if you could let us know and send to Maggie Zhang and our high-tech logistics support contract. Their emails are on the slide for today, which of the subgroups you're interested in working on, and we will get that added and make sure that you get the meeting invites and start to receive the materials for those as we move into subgroup meetings next week. And the aim I want to just emphasize as far as today's meetings goes, it's really just to establish kind of an understanding across all the task force members and provide you with an opportunity to ask questions. And that can be, you know, about what the charge is or what we're asking of the task force to do, how the task force is going to operate, as well as kind of how you individually can contribute to the task force or the subgroups. And then also in a subsequent presentation, you'll hear from Steve Posnack, our Deputy National Coordinator for Health IT, and Sarah McGee, who is a policy analyst with ONC and will be serving as the kind of overall ONC contact that will be supporting the work of this task force. We'll go into how the specific sections of the HTI-2 proposal are split out across the three work groups. So as we transition and go into the content of the rule, as we break up into subgroups next week, I want to just make sure that everyone is kind of prepared and ready to jump in on the content and understands how to contribute. So we do have time built in for discussion and questions today, both after this presentation and after the subsequent presentation on the breakdown of the rule by the different subgroups. So these are three actions we ask that each of you complete, and many thanks to those of you who have already responded on these items. But first, just again, reminder to email Maggie Zhang and our high-tech logistics support contract by the end of the day today if you haven't indicated which subgroups you want to be a part of. Again, that's up to you. It could be one or multiple. The second item is if you haven't otherwise provided your Gmail address to the high-tech logistics support contractor, if you could do that. We will be using a Google Doc to capture recommendations and serve as kind of a working document across the work group to compile recommendations. And my colleague Sarah McGee is going to go over that, that document, that process in her presentation. And the third item here is ONC presented through a public webinar, a comprehensive overview of the HTI-2 proposed rule on Wednesday. That recording is now available. We will put the link to that in the chat. So if you were not able to attend that public webinar, please take the time to listen to that recording. So you've got that background context heading into the subgroup meetings that start next week. We can go to the next slide. So those of you on the high tech are likely familiar with this, but just to remind everyone and to make folks aware who may be joining the high tech activities through this task force for the first time, all task force meetings and subgroup meetings are open to the public. So the public comment can occur in the chat throughout the meeting. And public comment time is included towards the end of each agenda for the task force and work group meetings. The link provided on the slide has the calendar of all the HITACH meetings. That is also where you can find the meeting materials and information on how the public can participate is all available through that calendar on healthit.gov. Also, following the meetings, recordings and transcripts of the meetings are made available. I will note, because of just the volume of meetings that we have scheduled for this HTI2 task force, it is likely we'll experience some delays on getting the transcripts posted to healthit.gov. But if you as task force members want an early copy of that to reference for your work, please just reach out and we're happy to provide a draft transcript for upon your request. Can we go to the next slide? So this gets into our schedule. And again, Sarah McGee will cover the kind of breakdown of what substance each of the subgroups is going to tackle. So I just wanted to make sure folks are aware of the meeting dates and times. So I won't go over these slides in detail, but it does, each slide captures the specific dates and times of the meetings, as well as which topics within the proposed rule will be discussed at each of those meetings. We can go skip to the next slide, please. So each subgroup will meet once per week over the next 6 weeks. And the task force topics are listed on how the rule will be discussed at each meeting. As you look through these slides, you'll notice that each week progresses to a next set of proposed rule sections. So I'm highlighting that just to emphasize that for each individual topic, there is kind of a limited window to deliberate on that topic. And so I just encourage folks to please anticipate the need to come prepared with your feedback or questions kind of ready on each topic as you come into that meeting. And also Sarah will cover some tips on the types of recommendations that are most helpful. So we can get into that too later in this meeting. Can we skip down to the slide for week 8, please, on the work plan? So the subgroups are going to conclude their recommendations the last week in August. Then the full task force, so the group today, will reconvene to review and finalize the draft recommendations that first week in September. And then I just want to emphasize that the September 5th is a hard deadline. So whatever the task force has approved for recommendations at that point is what will go on and move forward to the full Health IT Advisory Committee for consideration and for a vote. And if there are things that have been discussed, but there haven't been, the task force has not come to consensus on the recommendations, those would need to be left out at that point. We can go to the next slide, please. The task force co-chairs, on behalf of the task force, will present the recommendations at the full HITACH meeting on September 12th. And then the HITACH will discuss the recommendations and ultimately hold a vote on whether or not to approve the recommendations for transmission to ONC. And on that, I think that's my last slide. We'll transition it, open it up for any discussion folks have. So if you've got questions about what the committee is or what the task force is charged to do, how the task force will operate, or how you can contribute, please raise those questions now. And again, I want to thank everyone for lending your time and expertise, and looking forward to the discussions on the proposed rule. So any questions or discussions at this point? Okay. Seeing none, then we will transition to our next presentation. So I'm going to turn it over to Steve Pasek, our Deputy National Coordinator.
All right. Thanks, Seth. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the beginning of your ultra marathon sprint. And I also want to echo my thanks on behalf of, you know, Mickey and the rest, the whole of ONC, really. It takes a dedicated person to volunteer to be part of the advisory committee process, and then equally doubly dedicated to be on one of these task forces for regulatory review and recommendations. I was invited to do a full reading of the 1,000 pages for you. So we're going to cut over to the video recording. We're going to put it on 10x speed, and we'll be done in 30 minutes. All kidding aside, you know, I just did want to set a bit of overall context for all of you to keep in mind as you've already gotten exposed to, you know, some of the breakouts for the subgroups, and Sarah and Seth will take on a bit more of that detail there. But really to, you know, give you a sense, we published a rule about 10 days ago. It still has not yet formally published in the Federal Register. So we're still kind of tracking toward, you know, the formal comment period. But as Seth mentioned, that 60-day window is going to come and get at us fast in terms of getting all the work done. The rule is, the proposed rule is really one of the most substantive and deepest policy proposals that we've included from an ONC perspective in a rulemaking in quite some time. And it's really because we've had a cumulative growth in the regulatory responsibilities that we've had over time as well. And so as you see in the rule, which is really four rulemaking authorities altogether, includes the standards and certification criteria related proposals. It includes proposals related to our certification program. It includes proposals related to the information blocking regulations as well. And then new related to TEFCA, as well from the 21st Century Cures Act. So we really have a blending of both high-tech act authorities that you know and love, as well as new 21st Century Cures Act authorities that are all bundled together now in the proposed rule. And, you know, really kind of three themes to echo across is really the expansion of the horizon of our interoperability viewpoint. And as Brian mentioned, I think at the beginning too, you see really for the first time, you know, a slate of proposals for health IT for public health and health IT for the payer community as well. And so those are two new areas that the rule spends, I would say, considerable real estate from a paid perspective tackling, in addition to continuing to set future predictable schedules for updates. And USCDI version 4 would be one of those to give, you know, more detail and more clarity to industry as a whole for the future direction that we're looking to go in. And this really builds on and has been a multi-year effort as, you know, regulatory sequencing and planning for HTI-1. Obviously, you all know that we've got this new naming convention and we have, you know, enumerated or numbered sequences for our roles with this one to follow. But, you know, this has been in the works for the past 2 to 3 years, you know, since the beginning of Mickey's tenure. And we've really been working, and hopefully you see some of the feedback that you all have provided from a high-tech, you know, from a high-tech perspective in this rulemaking as well. I know some of you were looking for some of these things in HTI-1, but they had already been planned to include in HTI-2 as we were going forward. So, you know, we've proposed to advance, you know, certain health IT from a nationwide infrastructure perspective. You know, we're looking at areas where we can reduce certain pain points and friction areas, again, across the health IT ecosystem. And, you know, even though I guess today was not necessarily a cybersecurity incident perspective, but we know that there's growth opportunities from a cybersecurity and good cyber hygiene perspective, too. And you see that, I think, built into some of the standards and certification criteria proposals that we've included as well. You know, just in terms of the information blocking regulations, obviously a few new exceptions that we've proposed as part of the rulemaking. One that is an added related emphasis around what we call a request or preferences exception to cover practices that involve adhering to request or preferences for limiting or delaying access to electronic health information, EHI. You know, again, I just emphasize with respect to everything in the information blocking space, this is a continued evolution, iterative approach as the industry gains more insight into how the information blocking regulations are interpreted, how they're applied in practice. We get that feedback and we have to turn that around into, you know, regulatory proposals in cases where we either need to modify an existing exception or, as you see in this rulemaking, create new exceptions for particular certainty or detail for the regulated community. The second exception that we propose is around protected care access, which would permit an actor to limit EHI sharing in order to reduce a risk of potentially exposing someone to legal action based on whether they sought, obtained, provided, or facilitated lawful reproductive health care. We have other changes to the privacy and infeasibility exceptions. And the other thing that I want to point out, you know, as many of you that have tracked our budget proposals, we've included in the president's budgets a request for advisory opinion authority. You know, short of that, going through the rulemaking process is the most formal way for us to include changes to our regulatory paradigm and add more clarity and certainty from a regulatory perspective. This rulemaking, I'd point out, at Part 171, Section 104, includes a new section that are practices that are likely to be interferences from an information blocking perspective. And so we're putting down, you know, in black and white, a number of things that have been brought to our attention and building them into this rulemaking in order to give additional guidance and detail and specificity and certainty to the regulated community. And then I would say, like, lastly, for the most part, we have a new part in the Code of Federal Regulations related to our responsibilities associated with TESCA and, you know, certain areas around TESCA governance. So there's a lot going on in the rules. There's a lot that you'll have an opportunity to provide feedback on. I know Sarah and Seth, as I mentioned, are going to give you the kind of do's and don'ts and best practices associated with you getting your comments in. I would definitely encourage you, you know, all to stay focused on the proposals and giving input to those first, because as it's as a rulemaking, you know, we need to stay within the scope of largely what we've proposed and what we're able to extend from a logical outgrowth perspective, as we normally say in kind of government speak. That's generally what I wanted to cover with you all, aside from thanking you again for your service and your participation. Your input, among all the other public comments, will directly influence and be considered as part of the final rule proceedings. This is a priority for us to turn around, and you know, we'll definitely guide, as I think you can see across the entire proposed rule, you know, significant changes in our health IT ecosystem for the better. So with that, I will turn it over to Sarah, I believe, to start narrating through the subgroups and everything else you got going on. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Hi, I'm Sarah McGee, and I'm a policy analyst in the Office of Policy at ONC. If we could go to the next slide, please. Yeah, there, that one. Yes. Okay. So for this task force, I'll be the program lead and the subgroup 2 lead. And again, just wanted to thank everyone for volunteering your time and your expertise. This slide sort of shows the overall structure for each subgroup, grouped by the themes within the rule. So the first subgroup, 1, will review proposals specific to public health. Subgroup 2 is going to review proposals specific to the standards and certification program. And subgroup 3 will be responsible for information blocking and the TEFCA proposals. And we'll go over each topic in subsequent slides. So each week, members of each subgroup will receive homework from the co-chairs on the proposal topics that we'll be discussing the following week. And so you should expect to receive some homework next week, and that'll come from the co-chairs. And we ask that you do this to help prepare for the discussions that week, to make it a robust discussion. Now, as you can see, we have the 3 subgroups. And occasionally there will be topics that are of interest to multiple subgroups. And so that's where the program lead will come in. I'll be responsible for that coordination across the subgroups. We will, as the program staff leads, will sync up offline as needed. We also plan to have debrief meetings with the co-chairs where we'll identify questions or points that the subgroup needs to address, maybe for another subgroup. And then at the end, all of the subgroups will merge back together into the full task force. So that should also help with some of the coordination across the 3 subgroups. All right, next slide, please. So subgroup 1 will be covering the public health proposals. The lead for this subgroup program leads are going to be Rachel Abbey and Molly Preto. And the chair is Bryant Thomas Karras, as you heard from him. And so the standards that this group will review and certification criteria that lists all of those. Next slide, please. And subgroup two, which are the standards and certification that are non-public health mostly, that's going to, this group will review APIs for patient and population services proposals, any revised and new certification criteria, as well as the patient and payer APIs and modular API capabilities. And then next slide, please. And then the subgroup three, which will be led by Cassie Weaver, will review the information blocking enhancement proposals, TEFCA, the Trusted Exchange Framework and Common Agreement proposals, and then some administrative updates as well, just corrections, things like that. Okay, next slide, please. So here, and as we sort of looked at earlier, here are the topics that each group will discuss for next week. As like I mentioned, every week you'll receive homework from the task force co-chairs to help prepare for the discussions. And we ask that you review these sections of the rule and be prepared to come and discuss, make recommendations, things like that. And what I'd like to do now to help accomplish that, we have prepared a draft recommendation Excel sheet, and I'm going to share that right now. And this is a document that the task force will use to draft recommendations. Give me 1 minute. Okay. And hopefully y'all can see this. So we have this document, we will post it on Google so everyone can collaborate with it, as Seth mentioned earlier. We have these tabs by group. So we have group one recommendations, group two, group three, and then also the meeting topics. And here we've provided a summary of each section of the rule. And once the rule is published and on the Federal Register's website, we'll add a link so that you'll be able to click and go right to that page number without having to search it around for it. And then here is where you would write your recommendations as we go through the process. Okay, so some of the things to think about when writing a recommendation or a comment. We ask that they are constructive and as detailed as possible, because that helps us the most. We welcome positive and negative comments. So if y'all agree with a proposed action, your comments are helpful to show the public, to show what the public wants or needs. And then if you disagree with the proposed action, we like it when you suggest an alternative. That can include no regulation at all. And when you suggest an alternative, we like that you include an explanation of how the alternative might work or meet the same objectives that we're trying to address. And then also, if you have any evidence-based information that you're basing your comment on, if you can provide that as well, that's really helpful for us. Another great way to contribute is if you have subject matter expertise in a certain area, if you volunteer to draft a specific recommendation. Oftentimes members will meet in small groups with that subject matter expertise, and they'll draft a recommendation and bring it to the subgroup to consider. And then, let's see, what else? I think that's about it. Do y'all have any questions about this document?
Okay. From Sarah, from past task force experience, could you just, for the sake of illustration, type into the member recommendation section and kind of a proposed format? If I recall, people would put their initials and then their comments so that you could keep track of who had made what comments, and then if people have changes to make, they would make them not by, striking out or deleting other people's comments, but creating their new initials and a section in that same cell.
Yeah, exactly. And you could even, if you want to highlight your text in red or something to distinguish it as well. But yeah, so example would be here, and then I'll do, and then here, well, I have to go. You would just, type in the next name and all of that. And what I can do is send around an example from the last task force, if that would be helpful for everyone.
I think people will figure it out pretty quickly, but okay. Just for people who are new to high tech or task force, I wanted them to get off on the right foot.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And if y'all have any questions, that's what we're here for. And just one other reminder that we appreciate all of y'all for volunteering, but you don't necessarily need to volunteer for a subgroup specifically. Because if you don't participate in a subgroup, that's fine. You're part of the task force, and you'll have an opportunity to contribute the recommendations at the end as well. So you can still, contribute to this document, all of that. And then, I think that's it. So just a reminder that I put the link in the chat to the website for our rule, and that also has the recording from earlier this week where we went over the rule, the big proposal overview. So I recommend listening to that. And if y'all have any other questions, feel free to reach out, and I look forward to working with you. Let me just stop sharing.
All right, any questions for Sarah? Okay, well, we are running ahead of schedule. Welcome if there are any questions that folks have that would be helpful as we start to get into the substance of the rule at the subgroup meetings next week. I'm also happy to end early. And if you haven't had a chance to listen into the public webinar on the overview of the rule, maybe that gives you some time to do so. Open it up to the group. And I see Anna, you want to go first?
Sure, thank you. Admittedly, I have not had a chance to listen to the overview yet, or the webinar. So I'll throw that caveat out there and commit to doing that over the weekend. One of the things that I'm struggling with a bit as I look at the fact sheets about the rule and I look at the way that it's described in the subgroups and sort of broken out and documents that have been sent out is trying to figure out exactly what this stuff means within the context of patients and consumers. And for instance, when I first took a look at it when it came out and I just skimmed it, it didn't seem all that, I couldn't quite figure out exactly how certain aspects of it were specific to consumer concerns or pain points. But then when Mickey described it during our high tech meeting, the last week, I think, there were several things that jumped out that would have spoken very specifically to some of the key pain points for consumers and patients as they interact with the health system through health IT and health data. So I'm just wondering if there's any way to get a little bit more insight into how these specific standards and elements within the rule will play out as it concerns specific issues and problem areas for patients, or how it might smooth out some of those problems that we've been experiencing. And I don't know if I'm just asking you to give me a tutorial on all things patients as it relates to HDI2, but I'm trying to find a cheat sheet perhaps, or a way of really zeroing in on which of these subgroups or sub task force that I should be participating in. and which ones I should be bringing to other patient advocates and patient data advocates in different groups and different organizations to like make sure that they're aware of this is an opportunity for them.
Yeah, no, great sure. Questions. And I'll just pick up on the last point. And then our deputy director for the Office of Policy, Beth Myers, is on. So I'll also turn it over to her to give some direction on points of focus from a patient perspective in the role. Two things, Anna, in response to you. Great question. So that's what we're hoping to get into today is really help. If there is any questions on which subgroup or kind of where to focus your energies to get into those questions today. So, you know, kind of where to plug into for the subgroups as they kick off next week. So hopefully Beth can point to some areas and help focus your attention. And the other piece is, you know, this is out for public comment. So, you know, encourage folks to share the rule with your, you know, professional networks. So members of the public can comment, you know, on the rule, and they can also provide public feedback through the meetings themselves, whether by participating in the chat or participating to share public comments. But I'll turn it over to Beth to see if she can answer the patient perspective question.
Sure. And I think the short answer on which task force is all of them. So that's probably not the most helpful way. So what I think I'll actually focus on a little bit, I know, because I think actually the patient perspective is a specific thing that each task force should itself be talking through and thinking about. And it does, in fact, there is a patient perspective relationship in policy areas that are falling into each of the task forces. So a couple key areas to take a look at because I think they are particularly relevant. One is the adoption of USCDI version 4. There are specific data elements within that that are designed to support a broader sweeping sense of health equity. And there's an interplay between the USCDI and things like exchange provisions that need to think about health disparities, that need to think about health equity, but also that have privacy considerations. So we always sort of couch each of those proposals in recognition of privacy considerations that go along with the continued expansion of USCDI. So USCDI conversation relates there. Another area that I think might be of particular interest from a patient perspective is thinking about the standards and technology criteria around the payer API sweep, the sort of set there. One of those IGs specifically is the PDEX IG that is specifically looking at payers sharing data with patients. So you think about some of those CMS provisions that are giving patients access to that information, things for patients that might be changing their coverage and how that coverage and access is impacted by the ability to exchange that information between payers at those key points of enrollment or enrollment changes, but also for the patients to be empowered by having that themselves. So that set of things would be particularly relevant from a patient perspective of sort of trying to add to what you can currently get in your patient portal by having those key pieces. I think the prior auth thing should cause a lot less pain for patients, but from the patient perspective, that's a workflow that's pretty opaque. So understanding how that should empower providers to help patients would be an interesting perspective there. But I do think some of those other things that are sort of going direct into patient hands would be an interesting thing to take a look at. I think the information blocking things are pretty big for patients. I will say when you do watch the overview, you'll see that we got some pretty strong public feedback already on the protecting care access provision. So I would think that in particular is the one that should ensure that patient perspective and the patient outlook is considered when you're looking at that one for putting comments on and considering what that really means. And then finally, I would say that there is there are tiny pieces that sort of run throughout. And one of the things that would be an interesting way to take a look at it is, for example, in talking about standards and certification, we have little things sort of throughout that may seem like they're little things in that they only take up a page or two in the rule. but they should do big things for patients. So one of those is having imaging access links, right? So that's a thing that it seems like a no-brainer. You shouldn't have to run around with a CD-ROM. I don't have a CD-ROM reader. So being able to have that tiny little piece be part of what's being exchanged and part of what might be available on a portal, we would love to hear how much impact we think that could really have. So there are some small things like that that are throughout. So I expect that you'll start to hear conversations about patient perspective and about patient impact in each task force. But those in particular are key areas that I think are worth taking a look at as you're reading through or as you're looking through the fact sheets, because I think those particular areas I mentioned, again, it's USCDI version 4, the protecting care access and the information blocking things, and then those payer APIs that include that patient exchange and getting that new data to them. Those are going to be some really big ones.
Well, thank you very much for that. I really do appreciate it. It's really helpful. And I guess, you know, again, part of what I'm trying to do is I don't really know that I have the bandwidth to participate in each of the sub task force groups. So nor do I necessarily think my perspective is the only one in this, you know, in this task force that, you know, is relevant to patient perspective. So I'm trying to figure out like where to devote my time within the context of this task force. But secondly, you know, I'm leading an effort and interact a lot with different consumers and patients. I'm leading this a work group with different patient data advocates with the Sequoia Project. I would love to like develop, you know, either group comments or like get others engaged on it. But it's just a really heavy lift. And I'm just wondering if there's any kind of stakeholder focused fact sheet that or something. Anyway, maybe it makes sense, Beth, for you and I to do a one-off discussion and spare everybody else the time. But I think this is a really important rule, and a lot of the importance of it doesn't really come through all that readily in some of the fact sheets, which are understandably written for developers and hospital systems.
Yeah. I think that's it's a fair point, because there's a lot of, we have a fundamental requirement to make sure that we're being very, very clear in our proposals for the entities that are actually regulated.
Right. Yes. That wasn't a criticism.
Yeah. No, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. It is a push pull. It's a balance. So I think that, I'm happy to have a side conversation, and I'm also going to be, you know, paying attention to the task forces themselves and connecting with teams there. We have a lot of folks that are thinking about these types of things as well. So I think it makes a lot of sense for us to sort of try and tee up a little bit of perspective of things to look at. I will say I can't tell you, you know, which one should be most important. That's a little bit straying into opining language, but starting from those big highlight ones. I'm trying to keep my balance here. Starting from those highlight ones, I think that if patient advocacy communities are looking at them, they'll see some areas where we probably already have it right. I hate to say it that way, but there's some areas where maybe they don't need to spend as much time giving us feedback because right. It kind of looks good. So the balance there on those key areas, I think especially the payer data is a really big new space. I would spend some time focusing there because it's a really big new space, and it does have specific patient IGs that would be important for us to understand the scoping. But all of those areas are important. So I do think that having a follow-up where you sort of get a chance to see, to maybe dig in on where it would be helpful for those task forces to have a little bit more understanding of patient impact, that would be helpful for us in our role in sort of providing support.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys do get a lot of things right. And I'd like to be able to call that out publicly when possible, just to make sure that, you know, if there's any pushback on certain things that like the relevance for patients is also noted. And now we're being supportive of the things that you do get right. Yeah, again, I don't want to dominate the whole Q&A session here, but I will email you separately, Beth, and if anybody else on here wants to join that call, that's fine or whatever, but I think it could be, I'd love to help get a broader input from the patient community for you guys.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you, Anna. Mark?
No worries. I put my hand down, or I tried to.
Okay. Any other questions that folks have at this time? Okay. Seeing none, Asel, and I guess let me check with Bryant, Mark, and Rochelle. Are you guys okay with us going to public comment at this time?
This is Rochelle. I don't know if I don't see myself on video, so I'm not sure if it's transferred over there. I do have a question for Anna. Anna, thank you so much for highlighting the true patient endpoint at results in what all of these different subcommittees will involve and how it relates to the patient. I truly agree with you. Reading some of the material was a little bit dense, but having a clinical informatics focus, I was able to discern exactly what they were trying to say. But if we truly want full disclosure and public comments on this from the general public to which they are concerned, I do concur with you and would love to talk with you after this meeting to ensure that we meet that, especially on the information blocking and TEFCA side. I think that's very important so that we can help the patients navigate and truly ensure that they receive the information that they need and help to prevent information blocking from them.
To be clear, you want to meet with me, Rochelle?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Sounds great.
I'm good moving forward.
Good. Okay. All right. So at this point, Asel, if you could transition us to the public comment slide and open us up for public comments. So if you are a member of the public and you can either if you're on the Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the raise hand function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're participating by phone only today, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. And as we give folks a chance to queue up from the public, if they're interested in making comments, just want to remind everyone our subgroup meetings will kick off next week. If you are interested in subgroup and don't see your name under that group, or if we've got you erroneously under a group, please feel free to follow up with us and we will get you correctly associated with the subgroups, and we'll get those meeting invites out to you. We also want to remind folks that all high tech materials are available on healthit.gov. Let me check for raised hands. Asel, looks like we have no comments online. Let's just check our participants. I don't see any raised hands there as well. So with that, I will turn it back over to Rochelle and Mark and Bryant with any closing remarks to close us out.
Rochelle, you first?
No, go ahead.
I just want to thank and apologize to all of the task force members and our new newly recruited members for taking on this task over the summer. It's a tremendous amount of work, but it is very rewarding to see what comes out at the end of this task. So the homework assignments are not for naught. We will get to the finish line, and the weight of both the public comments coming in to the notice of proposed rule and our comments from the task force, I think will make this rule the best that it can be. So I'm looking forward to working with you all. I will say it is going to be a consensus driven process. So people should know going into this that it may not have everything that everybody wants in it. We have constraints and we need to do things that are at a maturity level where we think we can get them across the line. I'm committed that this is not going to be the last time we talk about enhancements and improvements to standards within the public health space, especially. It's going to continue to iterate. So this is one stop on many stops on our journey. So thanks everyone for coming along on the ride.
And for the interoperability, and for the information blocking in TEFCA, I really thank you for those that have already volunteered, and I encourage others to join us. We will either work forward in unification to really provide meat and potatoes in ensuring enforcement, or we will meet where we can in the middle and move forward to future iterations to ensure that we provide a pathway to ensure open access. So I know as I look at the requirements, it is not lost on me, the caliber and the expectation that will go into that, understanding that not all providers and not all health systems are equal. And so we need to find that fair balance. And so I thank you for your work and I thank you for your volunteering.
Back. Nothing beyond just thank you everyone and looking forward to diving into our sections.
All right, thanks everyone. And with that, we will adjourn our call for today. Thank you.